shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So we'll stop our reading there. What a glorious exaltation from where Joseph was just the day before. Joseph was in the prison with no hope of getting out, betrayed, sold by his brothers into death and then into slavery, to never see his family again, improperly accused by Potiphar's wife after Joseph had been nothing but faithful and good to Potiphar. Gets cast into the prison, interprets the dreams of the butler and the baker correctly, and nonetheless, in spite of that, the butler forgets him after the butler has been restored to his position in Pharaoh's household. We know the story then. Pharaoh has this distressing dream, and the butler remembers Joseph, and Joseph is called from prison, and now is exalted like this. You might think now that Pharaoh has gone a little over the top. I mean, Joseph has interpreted the dream. The dream has not even come true yet. Joseph has simply interpreted it and made a suggestion as to what could be done to store up during the years of plenty or the years of famine that would be thereafter. And Pharaoh does all of this for Joseph. Now, what was happening here? Why did he do it? And the answer, of course, is that the book of Proverbs tells us that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. This was a divinely influenced move on Pharaoh's part because it's going to be a tremendous picture of the Lord's exaltation. Look at how much is put under Joseph. I have set you, verse 41, over all the land of Egypt. Not only that, though, Pharaoh takes off his signet ring and puts it on Joseph's hand. In the ancient world, this was a picture of succession. In other words, aside from the authority of the throne itself, Pharaoh is turning over to Joseph all the power and control over the land. So much so, he says, no one without your word can lift a hand or a foot in all of the land of Egypt. You are in charge of it all. He demands, when he rides in the chariot, second to Pharaoh, that all would bow the knee throughout the land of Egypt. Just for the literary value of the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, it's magnificent. Even before someone might accept it as inspired word of God, the sheer beauty of this as a story is very stark. And particularly when we'll get later into it, when Joseph's brothers come to him, what a tremendous emotional story we have before us. So let's back up a little bit, and we'll bring ourselves up to the point where Joseph is exalted. We remember him back in prison, back in chapter 40. Now, when he was in prison, the butler and the baker, they also come into prison. And in verse 3, so he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. I'll just mention something that I came across in trying doing some reading on this, and that is this phrase, the captain of the guard. You'll see it in verse 3, the captain of the guard, and in verse 4, the captain of the guard. If you'll notice, back in 39:1, when Joseph was taken to Potiphar, it says this. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites. I had never been, had the idea proposed that the captain of the guard in the prison may have been Potiphar, because they're both called the captain of the guard. And I'm still not convinced of it, because in my mind, the captain of the guard, you could have more than one of them. Captain of the guard with respect to certain things here, and the captain of the guard with respect to the prison here. So I would not go so far as to say they were the same, but some people do think they're the same because of that same title. If that's true, then it certainly would imply that Potiphar never really did buy that line from his wife, that it was Joseph's fault, because the captain of guard of the prison exalted Joseph even within the prison. But it's something for your thinking. I'll just mention that. So Joseph gets known as an interpreter of dreams. Now, I don't think this is that easy. In the dreams that we come across in Joseph's life, you have his own dreams regarding his brethren. You have the butler's and the baker's dreams. And you have Pharaoh's dreams. If you notice something common about all of these, they all have a specific number of something in them. Remember, Pharaoh's dreams, there were 7 cows and then another 7 cows. In the butler's dream, there were 3 branches. In the baker's dream, there were 3 baskets. In the dreams of Joseph, there were 11 sheaves around the one sheaf. There were always a number of things. And you might think, well, the 7 cows were 7 years, the 3 branches were 3 days, the 3 baskets were 3 days. I know how to interpret these. When it's a number of things, it's always in a certain amount of time. Well, you'd be wrong, because in the first one, the 11 sheaves were not 11 days. They were regarding his brothers. Also, when Joseph goes to interpret the butler's dream, the butler says there were 3 branches. And Joseph says these are 3 days. Why you would equate branches with days, it's rather arbitrary, but it's because of the Lord. The Lord gave Pharaoh the interpretation of the dream. And if you were to assign 3 branches with 3 somethings, why would they be days? Why not years? Or weeks or months? So don't think that this idea of the dreams, they're kind of obvious to somebody who's a little bit clever. No, that can't happen. It's a divine revelation. Now, the butler and the baker, they have dreams, and they're under Joseph's care. Now, verse 6 says, and Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with them in the custody of his lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they answered him. Now, first of all, the fact that Joseph noticed that they were sad is something notable. Joseph was not one of these hardened prison wardens, keepers, or whatever. In spite of all he'd gone through, he had a soft side still. And he would see these people sad, and he'd think, well, they're going to be sad every day. They're in prison. Why shouldn't they be sad? And apparently they had not been in prison very long yet. So the fact that they were sad has an immediate explanation. They got thrown into prison. But credit it to Joseph's care and his observation, he was able to tell that this was not just a normal sadness. And then beyond that, it's one thing to notice. A lot of prison Joseph, he actually asks, he wants to find out why it is that these men are said, what's gone wrong? Now, why the butler and the baker were so troubled by their dreams, I believe, is that they discussed them. In other words, if one person has a very vivid dream, it's notable, and they might want to talk about it, but they might not necessarily think it's an omen of something. I mean, it's an indication of something. But imagine they both wake up with these very vivid dreams, and they start telling them to one another, and they're like, wait a minute, you had that dream? My dream was very similar, although, I mean, it has its twists. It's a little bit different. But yours was three branches, and mine was three baskets, and yours. And they start finding out that this is no mere coincidence. They're troubled by this because some supernatural force, which we know is God, but God is telling them something. They know something has happened, which goes beyond mere coincidence or explanation. So, verse 8, they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. The importance of the interpreter was that they knew this is significant. They were each given a dream that was almost identical, although varying in little aspects of it. Joseph responds, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. And we know the story about the butler and the baker would tell their dreams. In verse 8 at the end, Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God. You'll see this consistent, that Joseph will always give God the credit and the glory for the interpretation. When the butler goes into, is restored into Pharaoh's household, the butler will at first forget Joseph. And this will go on for 2 years. Until Pharaoh has his dreams. He'll have one, he'll wake up, think about it momentarily, go to sleep again, have a second dream that confirms it, wake up again and be troubled by it. The butler will remember his sin and then say, there is someone in the prison who interpreted my dream and the baker's dream, and it came true exactly as he said. He will be able to interpret. Now, after all of the king's horses and all of the king's men could not interpret his dream, all of his sorcerers and wise people could not do it. They call for Joseph. Joseph gets cleaned, he gets shaved, he comes and stands before Pharaoh. Now, I want you to think about this scene for a moment. 2 years earlier, Joseph said, remember me when it's well with you before Pharaoh, because Joseph knew if he had any chance of getting out, Pharaoh was going to have to do it. That was his way. That was his avenue. That was his crack of light. If he could get to Pharaoh by way of the butler, maybe he could get out. And there he is standing before Pharaoh. Now, you want to talk about being nervous before a job interview. He's now standing before Pharaoh. And his whole life depends on the conversation he has with Pharaoh. Now, you want to make yourself look important to him, right? I mean, you want to make yourself look valuable. Like, hey, I'm somebody. You ought to look at me and consider me. And when he gets called up, Pharaoh says, so, I hear you can interpret dreams. Joseph says in reply. Look at 41:16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What a statement. Everything was on the line. He had everything to gain by trying to give himself some importance so that Pharaoh might look on him more highly. And Joseph was concerned that Pharaoh would look on God more highly. And he gives credit to God for it. So Joseph says, Joseph has correctly interpreted the butler's dream, and the butler is restored. He's correctly interpreted the baker's dream, who ended up being hanged, obviously because of wickedness that was found out. Probably the suspicion of poisoning was out there. So you have two people to blame, the one in charge of his drink and the one in charge of his food. But maybe the investigation had not been complete yet. So both the cupbearer, the butler, and the baker were thrown in prison until it could be sorted out. And apparently the guilt was found with the baker. And so the cupbearer, the butler, was put back in his place. So he's now before Pharaoh. He interprets Pharaoh's dream and now recommends that because of the 7 years of plenty that would be followed by 7 years of famine, let Pharaoh appoint a man, someone who can be in charge of gathering the surplus of grain during the years of plenty so that there will be, the storehouses will be full for the years of famine. Now, this was not just any person to accomplish this job. You think, well, how hard is it to just take the extra grain and put it in storage containers? Well, it's a big job. One, storage containers probably had to be built, but the bigger part of it was, when the years of famine came, how do you allocate the storehouses of grain? That was the biggest problem. What price do you set on them? People are coming to you for their lives, and you have to determine a price to set for this, knowing that there's going to be 7 years of famine in the future, and to whom it's going to go. You definitely need the wisest man you can find to be in charge of that phase of the operation. And then what we read, Pharaoh says, "Can we find such a one as this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And Pharaoh is so impressed by Joseph, and certainly at divine prodding, exalts Joseph like this. Now, one of the things that is said interestingly, look down in verse 54. And the 7 years of famine began to come. This is after the 7 years of plenty. As Joseph had said, the famine was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, now listen to these words, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do it. Does that phrase ring a bell to anything else in the Bible? At the wedding feast in John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus is there, and this time there was no bread. And Pharaoh says, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. In John 2, there was no wine. And Mary comes to the Lord Jesus and says, now understand, the Lord Jesus has not begun his public ministry yet. This is going to be it. This is going to be his first act of miracles, or he's just beginning his public ministry, sorry. But he's not performed a miracle yet. This is going to be the first. And at this point, the relationship between Jesus and his earthly mother is kind of an interesting one. Where do they stand in relation to one another? And Mary says, they have no wine. And the Lord says, what is there between me and thee? It's an interesting expression, but one that's indicating that the Lord Jesus will basically be branching out now in his ministry. And in response to this, Mary tells the people at the feast, go to Jesus, and whatever he says to you, do it. He is in charge now. And it was a change of an aspect of his ministry, and one that Mary acknowledged by her statement. So, Joseph, among the things given to him, among the clothing, among the gold around his neck, among even the wife that is given to given a new name, Zaphnath-Paneah, which is most likely the Savior of the world. There are some differences of interpretation of that name. That's what he is now. He is the Savior of the world. He's going to be the Savior of his brethren. He's going to be the Savior of Egypt. And he's going to be the Savior of nations around and also in Japan. With a little bit of time left, I'd like to just take a quick peek at some of the comparisons we get here between Pharaoh and between Joseph and the Lord. So, one moment. All right. So we did this last week, but this is now a new chapter, Genesis 41 in Christ. So Joseph, in due time, was delivered from prison, and hastily so. This corresponds to the Lord's resurrection. Joseph was delivered by the hand of God. It was through Pharaoh, but he was delivered by the hand of God. This resurrection took place because of God. God had raised him up. This Jesus, God has raised up, says Acts again. Him, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Acts says a third time. Joseph is seen as the revealer of secrets. In Colossians 2:3, in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Joseph gives the fact that the interpretation was from God. And the same thing with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, I have given to them the words which thou gavest me, speaking of his Father. As the Father has taught me, I speak these things. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should do and what I should speak, what I should say and what I should speak. Joseph warned of a coming danger and urged his hearers to make suitable provision to meet it. And the faithful and true witness on earth warned of wrath to come, weeping and gnashing of teeth. He talked about hell and ones that were on course to die in their sins. He was a warning Savior. Joseph was seen as the wonderful counselor, and so was the Lord Jesus. Joseph's counsel commended itself to Pharaoh and his officers. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And he spoke with discretion and wisdom far different from that possessed by the court philosophers. And this was obvious to the king and to his servants. When it came to the Lord Jesus, he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, not as the experts of the day, just like Joseph rose above the experts of the day. When he was coming to his own country, he taught them, and they were astonished. Where has this man gotten this wisdom? And just as Joseph and Pharaoh and his servants were struck by the wisdom of Joseph, so those who listened to the Lord marveled at his wisdom. Can we find one as this? There is none so discreet and wise. So the auditors of Christ acknowledged that never man spake like this man. Joseph warned of a... Oh, wait a minute. Did I double this one? Yeah, I think so. Joseph is duly exalted and set over all of Egypt. And God highly exalted him, the Lord Jesus, given him, put him at the right hand of God, just like Pharaoh to put Joseph at his right hand. All authorities, angels, authorities, and powers being subject to him. Joseph was invested with such insignia as became his new position, the taking off of the ring, the arraying of investitures, and the gold chain. God has exalted the Son at his right hand to be a prince and a savior. We see him crowned with glory and honor. Joseph's authority and glory are publicly owned. He made him to ride in the second chariot, crying before him, bow the knee. He made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And the Lord Jesus, in his exaltation, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on the earth. Joseph received from Pharaoh a new name, Zaphnath-Paneah, the Savior of the world. And God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And in John 4, converts to the Lord Jesus acknowledge that he is the Savior of the world. I think that's it.